Blog Talk Radio.
It's a blessing to be with you one more time. It's a blessing to be here. It's a new day that the Lord has made, and certainly we are glad. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Maria Carey, President and CEO of Amazing Grace Ministries. And once again, we're coming to you in another episode of our exciting lesson. We're living our best life. And because this is Advent season, because this is the Christmas season, we have got a subtopic: Jesus is our hope for the season. Again, I always talk about my announcements before I get started. And I want to let you know that there's still one more opportunity for you to get in on class. Amazing Grace Ministries will be in our last and final class on next Thursday, which is December the 13th. I'm certain you can listen in for an exciting lesson. 309-750-7584. For more information. So let's get to it, shall we? We've been talking about the fact that we have life more abundantly because Christ came and Christ has delivered us. And this, of course, is a season where we celebrate the risen Savior. So let's get into the scripture. And the scripture focus for this episode is Isaiah 9 and 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Again, we are in the season of Advent, or the Advent season, or the Christmas season. And of course, on television, we have been seeing the movie. Some have been taking this opportunity to kind of be a couch potato and watch over and over again the Christmas movies and the Christmas movies. Not only do we have the Christmas movies, but we also have the Christmas songs. Now, Advent, excuse me, is a four-week season, and it's a four-week season of expectant waiting. We're celebrating around the world the Savior who is coming. It is a time of preparation. It is a time of love. It is a time to prepare our hearts for a Savior who is coming. It was prophesied over in Isaiah that the Messiah was coming. And this is a time of reflection. It's a time to teach our children. It's a time to teach others about Jesus' virgin birth, his life and his death and his resurrection. This season draws our heart back to and reflect on what he has done and how he has propelled us into a new year, or will propel us into a new year of expectations and readying ourselves for a glorious appearance. And you know that this is the last month of the year. And certainly 2018 will be fastly out of here. And we will be in January so quickly. So let's get to the scripture, shall we? Isaiah 9 and 6 says, "For unto us a child was given, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." So when we look at that, the same that is the Mighty God, our Mighty God is a child. The Ancient of Days becomes an infant. Span of life. The Everlasting Father is a son given. And we know the word says, the word was made flesh and dwell among us. He is given, freely given to all that, to given to be all that to us, which with us who were in a fallen state. And it calls for God. God so loved us that he gave his son. His son is born to us. He's given to us, to man, not to the angels, but he's given to us. He is given to the shepherds. He's given to us according to Luke Luke 2 and 11. Unto us is born this day a Savior. And God cared for us. God saw us back when Adam and Eve sinned. He was thinking about us. In John, the first chapter of the Gospel of John talks about the fact that In the beginning, he was there. In the beginning was God. And during this season, it's a time to reflect that God did the ultimate sacrifice, and that is to send his son as a ransom for our sins. He thought enough of us to send somebody as a representation, or not a representation, but a sacrifice, a lamb that has gone to the slaughter, a lamb without spot or blemish. And if we look at the Old Testament, we see and we learn from Genesis all the way to the end of Revelation, not Revelations, but the Old Testament, God was giving instructions. In the beginning, man sinned, and from the time we sinned, we know that God was preparing a person that would come to be a sacrifice for our sins. Now, we can see in Moses, Moses was the lawgiver, and Moses gave a set of laws whereby people of God were to live. And certainly there were sacrifices made. But God said that after my son comes, you no longer need those sacrifices. So Christ being born and given to us is the great foundation of our hope. It's the foundation of our joy. It is a time of great. It's the foundation of our joy. So this child, this son of God, this son of man that is given to us has the capacity to do us a great deal of kindness. For he is invested with the highest honor and power so that we cannot just be happy, but he is our friend as well. So we look at the fact that God came in the form of a child. Like, we're made in the image of God, meaning that we have three parts, and God has three parts: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, God is one. He is one God in all three parts, and yet all three of those are God. Hallelujah. Ain't that something? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But God the Son, we're talking about God the Son today. We're talking about that baby that was born. We're talking about this Advent season in which we are waiting for the coming of Christ Jesus. Now, Advent season began the first Sunday in this month, which is December the 2nd. And certainly it will end the last Sunday, which is December the 23rd, in expectations of the coming, in expectations of the Savior who is coming for us. Now, we have been talking about Isaiah 6 and 9. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We can say that Jesus is wonderful. He is extraordinary. He is distinguished. So he's wonderful. He's gracious. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is a counselor. He gives the right advice, and it's all loving, and I'm going to get more into these things. And Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He is government. His government is one of justice and peace. So when we talk about the fact that he is called Wonderful Counselor, his people shall know him and worship him by these names. As one that fully answers us. We should submit to him and depend on him. We need to depend on the Lord. And in my mind, I was thinking that there are so many, if anybody has an email account, there are so many psychic readers and so many people that want to give your fortune. There's so many people that come and say, well, I can know the future. I can read the future. Let me read your hand. But here the scripture is clearly saying that we depend on him. We're not looking to a seesayer, as the Bible calls them. We're not looking for those that we go to get a reading, because we depend on the name of the Lord, because Christ came and he came again that we may have life. And we've been talking in this series, and we've read John 10:10, and it goes hand in hand in what we're talking about, because the thief comes not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I come, Christ comes. He came in the form of a baby. He came, and he's saying that I am your counselor. I am wonderful. I am the government. The government is sitting on my shoulders. You can trust me. You can call on me. And once you call on me, I am going to answer you, and I am going to fix it. So again, he is wonderful. He's the counselor. Justly he is called wonderful because he is both God and man. His love is the wonder of angels and glorified by saints in his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, and ascension. He was wonderful. He is wonderful. Hallelujah. We can say, if we call on the name of Jesus, and if you call on the name of Jesus, you know things happen. You know that if you were sad and down, all of a sudden you are not sad and down. I'm grateful for my experience, my encounters with the Spirit of God. I'm grateful in the way in which I came into knowledge of the Lord and his love and his kindness. There was what you call a Terry service in the church that I was brought up in. And a Terry service is just a service where you sit or stand, and your expectations are for Christ to come into you, or the Spirit of God to dwell richly in you. Now, the Bible has talked about that process whereby the Spirit of God has come, that he might enlighten, he might help us to be saved and empower us, and how the Spirit of God, and I talked about it, I've been on my blogs anytime, you know that I call the Spirit of God the power arm of God. And that's the third person of the Trinity. Now, I'm saying that because when you call on Jesus, something happens. And as a child, we will go to these services and we will call on the name of the Lord. We will call on Jesus. And we would read the scriptures and we would have the word. And afterwards, we would just stand or we would sit and we would reverently just call on the name of Jesus. You know, they sing a song, Jesus, and we would call on his name continuously, and something would happen. There was an experience that we encountered, an experience like no other, because Jesus, through the Spirit of God, will come at a greater, a greater degree in our hearts and in our bodies. Amen. So he consistently attends to us. He's there for us. And then he's a counselor. So the counsel of God, he counsels. He will give counsel to us. He will give instructions to us. He will give us knowledge. He will direct us. If we look at Psalm 16 and 7, it says, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night season. And then Revelations 3 and 18 reads, I counsel thee to buy of my gold tried in the fire, that thou mightest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mightest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Anoint thine eyes with eye sliver, that thy mightest see. Eye saber. So in essence, these scriptures are saying that our Father is wise. Our Father will give us instructions. The Bible says, in all our ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct us. A lot of times we go and do our own thing and we put God on the shelf and we don't acknowledge him in our decision making, in our paths of life, in our raising our kids. In everything we do, we are to give him reign. We are not to act on our own accord because we don't have the capacity to know what is good for us. Although we say, well, I am of age and I should know what's good for me. But because we live in a world that is made up of supernatural elements, and this flesh will one day end, and this spirit, this soul, is going back to the Creator, we must consult him on a daily basis. We have to understand that we have been bought with a price. We are no longer our own. God loves us so that he died. He sent his son in order to reclaim us back to the garden. And that garden is everlasting life through Christ Jesus. The Bible says there is no other way that you're going to get to heaven, get to me, but by Jesus. And that's because of the sacrifices that he made to come as a form of a dear child through a virgin mother that didn't know a man, but the Holy Spirit endowed her. And because he came upon her, the power arm of God, she became impregnated through the Spirit of God, thereby Jesus being born and God being her father. Hallelujah. He is a mighty God. God is the mighty one. He has wisdom so that he has strength so that he can move us through anything, any problems. He is able to save us. He is able to work out any problems that we have. There's no situation too dire, nothing too hard. The power of God, the mighty God, will make it happen. He's the lawyer in the courtroom. He's the doctor in the sick room. And these are common terms growing up. People used to always say, you know, he's a lawyer. He's a counselor. He's a doctor when you need him. And those things are so true, because if you call on the name of Jesus, yeah, there's power in the name of Jesus.
I'm getting excited even just talking about it now, because Jesus, if you say Jesus, 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 hallelujah, there is such a power. There is such an anointing. I dare you, all my listeners, just go in your secret place and just call on the name of Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, I need you, Jesus. Jesus, 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 in your worship time, in your time of reverence to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, in your time of giving him some of your time. You know, we are his creatures. He made us. He created us. He formed us. And because he formed us, he knows us. We are unique in our personalities. We are unique in how we look and how we see issues and things. We are unique to our parents. We are unique to how we were raised. And because we are unique to one another, and we are unique, but God knows who we are. We're unique. We have differences. No person is the same, but I declare that Christ came. He knows you, and when you call on the name of the Lord, no matter what your situation is, there is a consistency, there is a commonality that we have, that if we call on the name of Jesus, something happens. And though I'm different from you and you're different from me, when we call on the name of Jesus, we can declare that God worked that situation out. He fixed it. I didn't have to. I put it in the hands of the Lord, and I was going to say I didn't have to worry. Worry, we worry, and when we are worrying, we're not putting that situation in God's hands. We need to put it in God's hands. I'm going to say this last thing, and we're going to pray. He is the everlasting Father, or the Father of eternity. He is God, one with the Father, who is from everlasting to everlasting. He is the author of everlasting life and happiness to them. So is the Father of a blessed eternity. He is the Father of the world to come. And we have to remember that Christ is on the way back. With that, we're going to go into prayer, because I tell you, God is good. His mercy endures to everlasting to everlasting. Father God, I thank you for those individuals that have taken this time out of their day to hear a word from you. Jesus, we call upon you, Jesus, to fix it. We call upon you, Jesus, to fix every situation that's not like you. And first of all, Father, we want to repent of our sins. We want to come boldly before the throne of grace to say, God, forgive us of every error, for every sin that we've committed knowingly and unknowingly, because we want to be right with you. I pray even now, God, for each and every participant on this line. I pray, God, that you'll move mightily in their lives during this season, God, this Advent season. You are the reason for the season. You are the giver of hope. You are the giver of life. And we thank you, God, that you are God, and there is none like you. I pray, God, that you move, God, even as we give gifts, God, as we receive gifts. I pray, God, that you give us the biggest gift there is, and that is a renewing of your spirit, a renewing of your anointing, a renewing of who you are. God, let us get reacquainted with Jesus Christ. Let us get reacquainted with you. God, give us a desire to know you more. Give us a desire to read the word. Give us a desire to press into worship. Give us a desire to spend more time with you. Give us a desire to seek you like never before. And if there's anything wrong, pray even now, God, in our bodies, that you heal us, deliver us, and set us free. Open up our understanding for this word, Father God. Give us clarity in the name of Jesus. All these things I pray in your name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless him. God is a good God. And certainly we can put our hands in his hands because he is the giver of life. And as we continue to celebrate this season, as we continue to meditate on the fact that he came that we may have life and that more abundantly, let us be thankful and let us continue to call on the name of Jesus. I see you next week. Be blessed. Bye-bye.